We're joined today by Genevieve Gunther, who is with End Climate Silence. And they have recently launched a campaign, adsnotfittoprint.com, targeting New York Times and its, I guess, acceptance and promotion of ads from the fossil fuel industry. So, Genevieve, can you maybe just give us a brief overview? What is End Climate Silence and why this campaign?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on your program today. End Climate Silence is a volunteer organization that is trying to get the news media to cover the climate crisis with the urgency it deserves. We reach out to all sorts of news outlets, print outlets, broadcast news outlets, and we try to guide them in their coverage. Our argument is that they should stop thinking about climate change as a kind of science story or an environment story, and really see it as the context for stories they're telling pretty much every day at this point about extreme weather, about energy, about immigration, about real estate, about travel. And very often they'll talk about how the climate crisis is exacerbating the things they're reporting on, but they won't actually explicitly mention the words climate change, and we're trying to get them to change that. As we've been doing this work, it's really started to seem, though, like one of the blocks of doing this, especially in the broadcast news, is the fact that news executives are beholden to fossil fuel advertisers to deliver them eyeballs and not to send mixed messages over the airways. And so we've realized that, you know, journalists and editors and producers, anchors really know a lot about the climate crisis and are probably getting signals from above that they shouldn't be talking about it that hard. So we're not going to solve this problem of ending climate silence until we get fossil fuel money out of journalism. So that's why we've started this campaign to stop the ads not fit to print.
Well, one thing about the New York Times, unlike almost every other media outlet, you know, they actually have launched sort of a, you know, a little bit of a climate bureau and have focused some attention on climate. But you're still concerned about the amount of advertising and money they're taking from the fossil fuel industry?
All the more so, because actually the New York Times doesn't just run fossil fuel ads. They actually create campaigns for oil and gas companies through their internal advertising studio, the T Brand Studio. So they're actually creating these campaigns in which oil and gas companies are promoting fossil fuels as solutions to the climate crisis. Like, they created one ad that promoted what they are calling natural gas, but which is really fossil methane gas as a solution to the climate crisis. And it's true that compared to coal, methane gas has fewer carbon dioxide emissions, but it has a lot of methane emissions, which create a lot of global warming. So, but they're greenwashing their reputation and promoting false solutions with the skill of the New York Times advertising studio. And so these greenwashing campaigns seem all the more credible when they're promoted next to some of the top climate reporting in the world. So basically what the New York Times is doing is trading on the reputation of their climate journalists in particular to greenwash fossil fuel companies and make them seem like they're actually helping to solve the climate crisis, when in fact, they're continuing to search for new deposits of oil and methane gas, and planning to extract more of them and making the climate crisis worse and more deadly every day.
So I checked out one of your websites, adsnotfittoprint.com. And one of the things posted on that was you point out that in 1999, the New York Times had stopped running ads from the tobacco industry. And clearly they have not yet done that for the fossil fuel industry. Have they given you any explanation why they continue to take money, you know, from the fossil fuel industry and continue to actively promote it in their ad department?
Well, their excuse is that they still think of fossil fuels as products that meet their advertising guidelines. Clearly, at least their business side is still populated by climate deniers, because it is a scientific fact, unequivocal, that in order to halt global warming, we need to stop the use of general use of fossil fuels. And this is the whole point of the Paris Agreement, which almost every nation of the world has signed on to, the attempt to get the need, the necessity to get to net zero emissions by 2050, or if at all possible sooner, so that we can halt global warming before these tipping points get kicked off that'll send global warming out of our control. So there's no debate over the fact that we have to end the general use of fossil fuels and transition to a net zero economy. But the business people at the New York Times, the publisher, the CEO, all the people who are actually running the paper as a money-making enterprise are clearly climate deniers, because they still think that trying to get their readers to use more fossil fuels is a legitimate thing to do in 2021.
So what can listeners or climate activists do at this point to assist with this campaign?
Well, the first thing they can do is they can sign our petition, please. We are never going to fundraise off your email address. We are simply using these email addresses as sort of virtual voices that we are going to hopefully bring to the Times and say, look, all of these people really think that what you're doing is dangerous and misguided in the era of the climate crisis. You know, New York was totally flooded yesterday in a historical event that has never happened before. 8 people were killed. And that kind of extreme weather is directly caused by the burning of fossil fuels that is causing global heating, which brings more moisture into the air. It's happening. People are already dying. These fossil fuels are harming our health. They are putting our communities in danger. So if you sign our petition, you are adding your voice that we can bring to them. It's like a virtual march. It's a virtual protest. And that will help us a lot. So in the area of digital activism, these online petitions really do serve as a kind of collective action. And I encourage you to do that. I also encourage you to write letters to the editor. If you see a piece on climate change in the New York Times that you think is really good, or even if you just think it's good, you should also write a letter to the editor and say, I don't understand why your paper is still promoting fossil fuels while you have this stellar climate journalism on your masthead. So I think those two things, as long as the pressure is big and as long as it's extended and even relentless, I think that there's a chance that actually we can move them on this, maybe not right away, so that they don't seem like they're bowing to the pressure from activists. But, you know, in a year or two, we'll get the ball rolling, and then all of a sudden it'll snowball into something really effective.
Now, I've seen several other campaigns targeting the media. Jamie Hinn used to be the 350 communication director, seems to be doing some work on this, and Extinction Rebellion, New York City. I've seen some protests, I think, even at the New York Times on this issue. Is there a broader, climate media coalition?
Absolutely. So Fossil Free Media, Jamie Henn's organization, is a partner on our campaign. And End Climate Silence worked directly with Extinction Rebellion to develop the campaign that they brought to the New York Times. And we wrote talking points for them, which we shared with the editorial staff at the New York Times. I'm really happy to see that there are multiple groups working on this problem of climate silence in the media, because our polling has shown that the vast majority of Americans learn what they know about climate change and global warming, not from their school teachers, not from their friends, not from their, religious leaders, but from the news media. So if the news media isn't really talking about climate change, and if they're not connecting the dots between the extreme weather that we're already seeing in Louisiana and Mississippi and the Gulf Coast, in California, on the East Coast, really across the United States, in Tennessee, in the Colorado River and all the Western states that are becoming deserts, in fact, quite literally, if we don't connect the dots between what we're already seeing to the burning of fossil fuels, we're not going to get people to understand what it is they need to ask their elected leaders to do in order to protect their communities, protect their children's, and preserve a livable planet. The media has a social responsibility and a professional responsibility to tell the truth, to report the facts, and to end climate silence.
We're out of time. We've been talking with Genevieve Gunther, adsnotfittoprint.com, with End Climate Silence.
EndClimateSilence.org.
Thank you very much. And this is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.